My name is David Usher, sitting in for our dear friend and brother, Rhett Palmer. Rhett is attending a very special family get-together that I'm sure he'll talk to you about upon his return. But today, we're excited to be talking to Pastor Trevor Rayborn. Pastor Trevor,
hey,
good morning.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me here. It's great to be with you, David.
Yeah, it's great to see you again. And of course, as Christians as we are, we're coming up on some pretty exciting days.
Absolutely.
This Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening on Palm Sunday, and why Easter?
Yeah, why Easter? What's the significance? What's been leading up to this moment? You know, we all have ideas of what Easter is in our heads today. What did Easter represent even for the people 2,000 years ago? What was the expectation of the Jewish followers of Jesus and the disciples? And then also, you know, the Palm Sunday being the moment that Jesus arrives in Jerusalem. You know, he doesn't come on a high horse. He comes on a low donkey, right? And he's walking into Jerusalem. And so what was their expectation? I think for all of us, it is worth re-looking and revisiting this story, and even weeks leading up to Palm Sunday are just as important as Palm Sunday leads up to Easter Sunday.
Well, how about set the table a little bit and tell me a little bit about who you are?
We met
within the last few years and got to know each other a little bit, but tell me a little bit about who you are, what you're doing here in Vero Beach, and a little bit about your background.
Sure. I serve as the minister, the pastor over at Morningstar Church, part of the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Churches. We have a number of churches here in Florida and across the Eastern Seaboard, a lot of mission works overseas. But it's for us, we serve our community on the south side of Vero. We're located on Oslo Road, just west of Dixie. And Sunday services, 10 a.m., everyone's invited. I came to Vero about 5 years ago taking a call when their minister stepped down due to some health reasons, but really a faithful man of God, and the Lord brought my wife and I up here to serve this congregation and Vero Beach itself. Uniquely, we're on our 12th year of marriage. Next month will be 13.
Congratulations.
Yeah, next month will be the big 13. And our honeymoon was here in Vero Beach.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Boynton Beach, Florida. So we're from the South Florida area. We met over at FAU, and we were nerds in love. We met in a physics class, and I was not a believer. At that point in my life, I had questions about who God was. I was a creaster. I was a someone who went to Easter services. Uh-huh. We're talking about Easter, and then Christmas services.
Were you raised in a religious home?
Not particularly, you know. And you know, it wasn't a central thing, but they did provide, you know, some Christian schooling. You know, come to the High Holy Days, but not the way that I look at Christianity now in my own life, where it's a daily walk with Jesus, right?
Yes.
And so it wasn't until my last year of college where I had some big questions about, man, if God is real, looking at biological cells, and they're so complex. There's no way this just came through time and chance. So this looks all designed. You look at these; they call them like the Cell City. You know, every kid does these projects in their school where they gotta, you know, they make the power plant is the mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell. They make the vesicles or the UPS truck or the Golgi apparatus. So it's like even public schools and private schools are making these cells look like cities. Well, cities are designed. And if they're designed, who's the designer? That was my big question my last year of college. And when I met my wife, who's just a student in my physics class, she got me to a men's Bible study at FAU. And then they invited me to church. And then I kept going to church. And I realized that if the Bible's true, there's some pretty big consequences one way and the other. And I remember in a worship service, committing my life to the Lord. He really got a hold of my heart, and I realized that I'm a sinner like everyone else, and I truly need a Savior. And at that point, you know, my life radically turned around. About a year or two later, that same girl who got me involved in that men's discipleship Bible study, we ended up dating and got engaged, dated for about 9 months. Dated for a year, engaged 9 months, got married, and we lived down in the Coconut Creek, Coral Springs area, where we got involved in a smaller local church, part of the ARP, the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, and that got me looped in with this, you know, group of faithful, you know, Christians, and I had no clue what a Presbyterian was. We were just going to a church.
Well, you're looking at one. I was brought up in a Presbyterian church. So if you want to know what one looks like, that at least started out in a church, it would be a Presbyterian church. But go ahead. So you got involved with some great men who started to disciple you and give you an idea what it was all about.
Yeah. And so that then, I don't know, I guess, you know, when you've felt that you've missed out on biblical teachings for 20 plus years, you want to get super involved with it. So I was going to church twice every Sunday to two different churches. And then I was, you know, involved in a lot of Bible studies just to learn it all. I was trying to catch up on missed time.
Yes, yes.
And you know, I like to still believe I'm just as passionate as I was then. But, you know, there is that high passion when you first come to saving faith.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
so you started to fall in love with Jesus as you were falling in love with Melissa. And so,
think the Lord just kind of orchestrated things to come together. And so when we got married, we lived down in the Coconut Creek area for about 3 or 4 years. And then about year five, I got this kind of call of like, am I going to be a teacher for the rest of my life? But I love ministry. I love doing youth ministry. I love filling in for pulpits. I was doing that as I went to seminary. And when I finished out seminary, I did one more year of teaching. But I mean, I kept having this conversation about, you know, Melissa, I think we're supposed to go into kind of formal ministry. And by the way, every job in the regular world or ministerial world is a calling, you know, wherever you serve, wherever you work, that is your ministry.
Oh, yeah.
I think sometimes people think, oh, those are the church people over here. They do gospel ministry. I'm like, no, whatever you're doing.
Right.
If you're a blacksmith, if you're a welder, like you have the opportunity to share who Christ is in the work that you do.
Well, that's interesting. So you went to medical school, right? You were
pre-med.
You were pre-med. So you were thinking
studying sciences. I was looking at that.
Okay. So you were thinking about maybe going into the medical field. And as I spoke to Rhett about our time together today, we were talking about that because I started out with a Calvary Chapel when I first became a believer in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that focused heavily, of course, on the Word of God.
Yep.
And that was great because, like you, I had a huge, vociferous appetite for the things of God, the Word of God, and is starting to speak to me. And so it sounds like as you were falling in love with your wife at the pre-med place there and getting into ministry, Jesus gave you that same appetite for the Word of God because it is the truth and the will of God. And so that sounds like you really started on a great journey there.
Yeah. By the way, it was Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, where I came to know Christ.
Yeah.
So that's where it started. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Me too.
After seminary teaching, feeling a call for pastoral ministry, talking with Melissa, praying with her, and then also talking with my own pastor about why I think this is – because, you know, a lot of people can have inner callings, but until you have some other faithful, more godly, wise men like to also kind of confirm things because, you know – sometimes we do things out of complete selfishness, and then we say, oh, I'm going to go out and be a missionary. So, like, you need a, you know, the Bible says out of Proverbs, you know, a counsel of many, it's a lot of wisdom, you know. And so that got me involved in being underneath a lot of ministers who evaluated me, tested me, listened to some of my sermons, asked me a lot of questions. And then finally, if you pass all the marks, you get ordained. And now I am an ordained minister in the ARP, and I serve here in Vero. And that's what brought us up here right before COVID, about 9 months before COVID, we got to Vero Beach. And so this is where I serve. And uniquely, it made it the most interesting first year of ministry. And doing Easter at home because of COVID.
Right.
Remember, you know, it was in March. Here we are in April, but it was March was the lockdown days. And and many churches were doing the online thing or let's meet outside or, you know, in retrospect, hindsight's always 20/20. Yeah. I wish we just continued to meet. But we were one of the first churches to reopen. We literally – I don't know, week five, we're like, let's just get back together. This is insane. That was the week after Easter is when we
Well, I can tell you from New York, I'm from upstate New York in the Albany area. That's the state capital. We were totally shut down. And that's what brought me to Florida was COVID because I had a chance to really travel and do my job anywhere because all I needed was a phone and a computer.
Yeah.
And so COVID was just a moment in time where most of us kind of remember where we were in March of 2020. And so you were kind of early in ministry, and your church was kind of like shut down.
Yeah.
And so you must have had to really just figure out what you were going to do to still make church happen. What a challenge as you were getting into ministry, huh?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, also, I guess maybe being I call myself an upper millennial, because sometimes we get a bad rap. But because I grew up without technology. I grew up without a cell phone until my senior year of high school. But, you know, you know how to use cameras and systems. And and we were recording services before COVID.
Okay.
But we weren't doing that before I got there. So I was like, well, let's get the message. Let's get the word out there. It's super simple. Yep. So we had some means to, you know, maintain some kind of camaraderie and fellowship, even if it was kind of online. But of course, there's no such thing as online church.
Not really. You can't
do baptisms online.
No.
You can't do communion online. You know, you can look at a fireplace on a TV, but you don't feel the warmth. That's what church online is like. There's no warmth there, you know.
It was a hard thing because it really defines who we are as believers in terms of how we interact with our civil government. And, of course, you know, the Bible's clear about telling us to submit to the authorities. But, you know, when the authorities start going against the word of God, we really have a quandary.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we listen, if you live without principles, you know, then you— If you stand for everything, then you stand for nothing. But if you stand for one thing, that's everything. And so you've got to really stand up for what you believe in.
Yeah.
You know,
it seemed like a tightrope. I mean, not to get too far afield from our conversation about Easter and Palm Sunday coming up, but I think it's pretty important to know how we as believers are to operate in this world, and especially as things get darker, and in many ways they are. These times in life become quandaries, and you as a spiritual leader, I'm sure, have to try to sort these things out for yourself before you can help other people determine how are we going to do this? Are we going to come back to why aren't we going to come back to church? I know some pastors were actually thrown in jail over
some ARP pastors up in Canada were. Yeah, I remember that just because they wanted to continue to meet. And but you know what?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
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 He is our
Stand right now, everything is crashing down, and I wonder where you are. I try to find the words to pray, I don't always know what to say, but you're the one that can hear my heart.
Victory, we will forever proclaim you as has risen, King, for it is written. For it is written that you have split the seas and moved the mountains and set the captives free. We will forever proclaim you as risen, King, for it is written. Bring dead hearts back to life, blind eyes finding sight, dry bones be revived in your name. Darkness has to flee, you have victory. Death, where is your sting? For it is written, we are free. For it is written, we are free. For it is written that you have split the seas and moved the mountains and set the captives free. We will forever proclaim you as risen, King. For it is written. Bring dead hearts back to life, blind eyes finding sight, dry bones be revived in your name. Darkness has to flee, you have victory. Death, where is your sting? For it is written, we are free. For it is written, we are free.
Finding sight, dry bones be revived in your name. Darkness has to flee, you have victory. Death, where is your sting? Bring dead hearts back to life, blind eyes finding sight, dry bones be revived in your name.
Jesus, all article you see on this broadcast day is underwritten by Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated. Solis Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or single-ply roofing. Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated. Licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solis Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.
Greetings. We invite you to join the Word of Truth International Ministry with Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope every Saturday at 8 a.m. as we break the bread of life and teach the Word of God right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Dad up, fathers. You may not be currently living in the home with the mother of your child for whatever reason. What you say to and about your current or former significant other in the presence of your child says more about you, Dad, than it says about the mother of your child. Remember, they may no longer be your significant other, but they will always be your child's mother. One of the most important life lessons you can teach your son or daughter as a dad is showing respect for their mother, regardless of your feelings towards her. For your son, this clearly sends the message, this is how I treat my future wife. For your daughter, this is how I expect to be treated by my future husband. Dad, you are by far one of the most powerful teachers and influences in your child's life. This is Seamus Gordon with the Father-Child Connection, empowering fathers to establish, re-establish, or strengthen the connection between themselves and their children. For further information, contact us at 561-229-2379 or email us at admin@thefatherchildconnection.org. Dad up!
Let everything that has breath. Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion. You are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provider. Oh, you are protector. You are the one I love. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth. Oh, you are. And it's a new horizon. Oh, I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to. Because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new set on you, and you meet me here today with mercies that are new. Oh, yeah, my fears and doubts, they can all come to. Because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth.
Me back again now. Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer. They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and they claiming to be what they never were in their lives.
Friendship with God with Tom Cantor, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. right here on WCNO.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, a fresh manna. Thy Word is a Lamp, the fresh Word of God, children of God.
Thy Word is a Lamp.
The Church of the Holy Spirit in Palm City reminds you that America has a covenant with God, established over 400 years ago at the founding of our great nation, to send the gospel into the world. Please pray for a robust revival in our nation, that we may honor this covenant in God's perfect time.
At the center of it all, to the end. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. It's all.